Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to Thank Goodness It's Folk, Sheffield's weekly folk program here on Sheffield Live, going around the world on the internet at www.sheffieldlive.org and also on 93.2 FM, the FM radio and digital radio in Sheffield. We also release it as a Mixcloud podcast shortly after the broadcast, and you can find that at our Mixcloud page, which is Thank Goodness It's Folk. I'm James Fagan. I'll be with you for the whole 2 hours today, while Sam Hindley has a rest. He did a great program last week. I hope you heard it. If you didn't, you can catch it on Mixcloud. I am so excited about the program I've got for you today. I've got two interviews with two wonderful musicians who have both released new albums in the last couple of days. The first half, we talk to Brian Finnegan, the incredible flautist and whistle player, best known perhaps for his role in the band Fluke, but also in Cannes, and a great soloist. And he has released an astonishing new collection of whistle tunes learnt from the repertoire of the Armagh Pipers Club. And it's great. It's called Shepherds, and I'll be talking to Brian in the first half and playing you some tunes from that. It's a really extraordinary record. And then in the second half, I'm joined by Rob Harbron, talking about the wonderful Boss Morris, the musicians being Miranda Rutter, Sam Sweeney and himself, and Boss Morris being the Billboard poster side representing Progressive Morris in England right now. And it's a great interview in the second half. I hope you can stick with us for the whole of this very special episode of Thank Goodness It's Folk, here on Sheffield Live. Thank you. Well, what a lovely way to open the show. That is the wonderful sound of the duo Morag Brown and Lewis Powell Reed. I've known Morag and Lewis for many years after they were both students on the Newcastle Folk Music degree. And they were brilliant then, they're even better now. And their album is just out very recently. It's called Old Springs New, and old is spelled A-U-L-D. Old Springs New, Morag Brown and Lewis Powell Reed. And from it, you heard the opening track, which is called Tide Time. Morag playing the fiddle beautifully there, and Lewis is a very accomplished bouzouki guitar and piano accordion player. And they play a range of musics from Scotland, England, Europe, and particularly interested in their interest in Eastern European music as well. I can heartily recommend their album. It's called Old Springs New, and you can buy it on Bandcamp. Speaking of Bandcamp, I was very lucky to get one of 250 physical copies of the new album by Brian Finnegan called Shepherds. It's a really extremely beautiful record, as you'd expect from Brian, a deeply thoughtful player, a wonderfully inventive and athletic player with incredible breath control and incredible tone and incredible improvisation within his tunes. I've always loved his playing. And I was so excited to see when this album was announced many, many months ago that Brian was going to make this record a tribute to his time as a youngster with the Armagh Pipers Club. What I didn't know then was that he'd be joined on the album by guitarist and producer Sean Og Graham, who I recently saw with the Bothy Band, and it's an extraordinary collaboration. I think it's already my favourite instrumental album of 2024, although it is in close competition there with an album we'll talk about in the second half, Miranda Rutter's Bird Tunes. They would be my top two instrumental albums of 2024. So without further ado, let's hear the opening track of The Brilliant Shepherds by Brian Finnegan, a set of tunes called The Holly Bush, Hanley's Tweed, The Long Drop, and The Flooded Road to Glenties. Just wrap your ears around this magnificent sound. Thank you. you've just heard the awesome set of tunes which opens Brian Finnegan's rather exclusive small run CD, which is called Shepherds. It's one I've been looking forward to for a long time, as I said before. And the album opens with that wonderful set, which is Hollybush, Hanley's Tweed, The Long Drop, and The Flooded Road to Glenties. And I'm delighted to say that Brian has a bit of time this afternoon to talk to us on the program. Welcome to Thank Goodness It's Folk, Brian, and it's great to hear your voice. It's been a while since we've seen each other.
I know, James. Great to hear yours too. I've been keeping track from I've been orbiting you for quite a while, and good to finally get a yarn.
Indeed it is, Brian. Myself, my friend Tom Warwin in Australia, and lots of other fans of your whistle playing, not just your flute playing, but your whistle playing, were very excited to see quite a while ago now. It feels like a little while ago since you announced your intention to record an album paying homage to the Armagh Pipers Club, which started so many musicians off as children on their paths. And one of the things you say in the notes to Shepherds is that the people who ran that, the Vallely family who ran it, were not just music teachers, but in your words, they were shepherds. I wonder if you could just expand a little bit on what you mean by that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up in quite a troubled part of the world, in quite a troubled time. James, I'm sure you know the history in the north. And yeah. The Pipers Club were formed back in the mid-60s by Brian and Ethna, who were culturally a lodestone for everything rich and town at the time, in Armagh at the time. So Brian was a celebrated artist, Debbie Vallely. He also was the president of the athletic club in town, Armagh Athletic Club, and the Fell Running Association. So he's a gifted piper. Yeah, and his wife Ethna was a very highly regarded Donegal fiddler. And so the pair of them decided that their gift to the town was to open an institution whereby children would come, and if music caught fire in them, they would be culturally as well as musically literate, you know. And my family were associated with the athletic club, so it was kind of by default that I got into the music classes. But once I did, I loved everything about, not just the lessons. I mean, it didn't come naturally at the beginning for me, but just the pair of them, you know, I could sense that really powerful energy and very, very safe energy coming off them. Yeah. I couldn't get enough. If it was, I was a terrible cross country runner. But after a year of playing the whistle, it definitely started making sense.
Brian, we were chatting around the time that you announced your intention to record this album, which is largely tunes that were part of the repertoire that was being shared amongst the youngsters there. And I told you that coincidentally, Nancy had just come across some old books and papers that were a gift to her from the widow of a friend of her late dad's, Ron Elliott, who was a piper up in Northumberland. One of the items in this box was an original copy priced at 25p. of the whistle handbook produced by the Armagh Pipers Society. And I sent you a picture of it, and you said that you were actually on the cover. It was a 1976, and there's a picture of you. Do you remember what it was like sitting in that room with those other lads and lasses and learning the whistle, or is it too far in the distant past?
Not at all. It's so in the front of my memory. I mean, the smell of it, the chill in the air, because the Pipers Club moved around. You know, whenever I joined, and so it must have been 74, 75, it was in the boxing club. It was in the Pierce Oaks boxing club. And I remember sitting huddled in a corner of a dark, damp boxing club with these two guys sparring up above us. And there's a group of young whistle players. I was slightly terrified, you know. And it was kind of sepia. We couldn't take our coats off. And mum was standing outside in the rain waiting for it. It was the dead of winter. So that was my first experience, and it's very much still cerebrally branded in my memory.
And Brian, I spoke to Jarlath Henderson about the same time because I knew he'd be interested in that book too, and he was. And he said that, and something I hadn't realised when I first heard Jarlath singing so well is that, and expressed surprise that that was sort of hidden under a bushel, that light. But he said that for most of the youngsters at Armagh Pipers Club, singing was part of the education. Was that in your case as well?
No, because I was a wee bit before Jarlath.
I see.
I'm flattering myself when I say a wee bit. I was quite a generation before him. However, I mean, it is now because my youngest, Emil, is at the Pipers Club and he goes to the singing classes, and hopefully next year he'll start whistle, which is a beautiful thing, you know, because I struggled when I was a child with very bad asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Just digressing a little bit from your question, James, so it seemed particularly cruel that I would be subjected to an instrument that was labored. I was laboring to play because I was, laboring in with my breath in a damp room. Yeah. But I quickly put the pieces of it together, you know, and I thought, you know, because I'm so in touch with my breath, and because I was doing exercises to strengthen my lungs, then it kind of made sense that I was playing an instrument that was asking questions in that part of my body, because I'd learned how to breathe down into my belly.
Absolutely.
As to find the extra space. And it was only years later, maybe 20 years later, that I was invited out to India to work with two Indian flute players, one on each really eminent musicians.
Yes.
And they spoke to me about their way into music, and it was through breath.
Yeah.
It was first of all learning how to breathe properly in the conservatoire, and then song. And they didn't get a flute until they knew how to sing.
Wow.
All 72 parent scales in, you know, that kind of music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So
the penny dropped, and I realized that is absolutely, because the flute and the whistle is, any wind instrument is kind of an extension of your voice, you know, it is like singing through that vessel.
Completely. And I think something about your playing particularly, and I've always thought it from the early days of Fluke, who amazingly will be 30 years old next year, which is, talk about the passage of time, Brian, but it's the, the continuity of your playing, which has always been so captivating for listeners. And it's part of the Fluke sounds, part of your solo sound, is that continuous, almost the impression of continuous music through without breath. But of course you do breathe, but it's so integrated into your playing. And one thing I was looking forward to hearing on Shepherds, and indeed it proved to be the case, is your sound and your approach to playing, but with tunes that are just absolutely beloved to anyone who's played Irish music. So many of them are, you know, what we'd call old-fashioned bangers, but they must have been so much fun to go back to when you have recorded so many contemporary tunes and you write so much music. What was it like playing these old tunes again?
Well, it was a very personal and emotional look back at times, because I could see that they were part of my story, you know, and each one of them kind of beckoned me into the path towards actually wanting to write. Because when I started writing tunes, I had no idea what I was doing. There wasn't a conscious decision to begin composing. It was just these musical floaters started to kind of, you know, just appear out of nowhere. And it was a very slow fermentation fraught with self-doubt, I'll tell you, until I eventually realized they weren't going to leave me alone until I paid closer attention to them. So, but each one of the tunes on Shepherds, I guess, structurally, were fascinating to me, because I tried to get inside the place that they were written from. They were fully formed. They weren't trying to be anything else. I could imagine now as a writer being in that place when that tune arrived.
Yeah.
There wasn't any chiseling it into shape. It was very insistent, and it probably wrote itself, and whoever was there was in a quiet place to catch it.
I love that. I love the thought of that. And I do often wonder when we play the old tunes, you know, you can forget that somebody must have once captured it, as you said. You know, it was somebody, someone with a whistle or a fiddle at some point, or a set of pipes, and they just appeared. Brian, I was going to play the new Fluke track at this point, but I think we'll leave that to the end, because I'd like to stay on the subject of Shepherds. First of all, I just want to ask you, is it actually the case that this is a limited... I mean, I got in early and a couple of my friends did as well, but it looks like there's only a very few physical copies left. Is it really that exclusive?
Well, my intention was that, because I think that the way that music is shared these days is so different from the way it was before, and I just wanted to make it quite unique, you know. Yeah. I mean, who knows in the future, I might release it on vinyl, but it's just a small run series so far, and we'll see how it goes. There's been such a lovely reaction to it already, you know, and it was, yeah, so it's a movable feast for now.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, those two copies left on Bandcamp are probably sold already, but if you're lucky enough to grab one,
yeah.
I've been raving about it on my pages for the last couple of days. One of the things I was really struck by was Sean Ogg, I think Graham, is that his surname?
That's it, Sean Ogg Graham, yeah.
Yeah, now an incredible player. People may have seen him recently with the Bothy Bands, stepping into the huge shoes of Michal, who was the original guitar player. And it was quite clear to me, watching the Bothy Band and reading some of the comments from other members of the band, what a massive amount he brought when he turned up to rehearsals and what he brought to the stage. He just came across to me live as an absolute solid post, but I don't think I realised what an innovator and what a multi-skilled musician he was, because in Bothy Band, obviously, he had a job to do there. Tell us about his amazing abilities.
Oh, Sean Ogg, I mean, I could wax lyrical about him for weeks and weeks. He's one of my favourite people to start with. He's just so easy on the head and heart. He's a very quiet guy. He just doesn't need to make a big sound when, you know, you're in his company. He quietly goes about this kind of alchemic way of playing music, thinking about music, recording it. He's an incredible engineer. He's built this beautiful custom studio up in outside of Portland Own in County Antrim. And basically he was my salvation during the pandemic, because I started writing the album Hunger of the Skin, and it was done remotely for a little while, and then we started bending the law a little bit and covertly meeting up in the studio, pulling the curtains, and he's a big inspiration. He made me play out of my skin. You know, when you're playing with someone and you just know that you have to be on your A game all the time.
Absolutely.
Because he's just so good, you know. I love his company as well. He's just as brilliant a button key accordion player as he is as a guitarist. You probably, many people would know him through the band Bioga.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yes, I did realize it. He'd come from that background.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful what he's done. It's so sensitive to what you've done, but it makes it into it leaps out of the stereo, this record, because of the production and the sound. But first and foremost is your whistle playing, which he's just, you know, really surrounded with beautiful choices and rhythmic choices. And I have to say, as a chord player myself, I just really love his chord choices. They go where I hoped, and they do surprise me sometimes. But I don't know about you, but I don't like too many surprises. I like chords to be modally congruent, and he's got a beautiful sense of chording.
I think so. I think it maybe comes that you'll know this as from being a tune player. You know, he plays the guitar like he is. He's effectively playing the tune. The tune is in his atomic makeup.
Yeah.
So he just plays with that kind of sensitivity and without being overpowering or over heavy. His touches just always seem to be. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, I've asked you to choose another track from Shepherds to play us now, and I wonder if you could introduce this set of tunes and why you've picked these to represent the record.
Sure. Well, you know, this set opens with a beautiful tune from Brittany, written by the great guitarist Roland Conk, and it's a tune called Ton Baylor Pond. And then it goes into the only composition I couldn't help myself. I promised I wouldn't write anything or include anything original on this album, but my hometown of Armagh had just won the national GAA football title, and it was just too big and historic a moment not to acknowledge. So the second tune is called Geezer's Orange Wall, written for the Armagh manager Kieran McGeaney, and the last tune is a tune of Larry E. McCulloch from the United States, my go-to reel for the last little while. It's called, which makes my kids chuckle quite a lot, Not Safe with a Razor.
I'm talking to Brian Finnegan. Brian, it's so lovely to have you on the program and hear your voice again. Tell us where you are right now.
Right now, believe it or not, I'm sitting in Castle Blaney, County Monaghan. My little boy goes to Waldorf Steiner School up in Ballybay Wetlands. So I pedal the time here between Ballybay and Castle Blaney. Yeah, so I'm looking out at a lovely grey day.
Brian,
I'd say Cheney's chemist.
Oh, excellent, excellent. You can frequent a few of the local shops there, I guess, when you're filling in time. But do you walk in the wetlands as well?
I do, absolutely. Not today. Yeah, I'm not brave enough. Yeah, but normally it's a really beautiful part of the world down here. So
yeah, Brian, there's a lot of excitement, anticipation about next year for Fluke. It's the 30th anniversary of the band, and I guess partly to coincide with that, but probably because it's been building for a long time, you're releasing a new record, which is great news for all the fans of the band. And Sarah was kind enough recently to send the program the first single, and we're going to hear that in a moment. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about reforming. Not that you ever broke up, but coming back together to make the record, and what the passage of time has done to the process.
Well, we took our foot off the gas back in the late 2000, and I think it was 2013. We took a little bit of time out, and it was really because families had started to arrive. We were more committed to being at home. We'd spent the best part of 20 years constantly on tour.
Yeah.
And also, I guess when your eggs are all in one basket, a lot of musical opportunities that might have come your way just kind of pass you by because people presume that you're not going to be available. And so we wanted to kind of refresh ourselves musically, wear a few different hats. We took time off without breaking up. There was no expectation or pressure to come back together. But then I got a gig in my hometown of Armagh at a harp festival, the Edward Bunton Harp Festival, and I called up the guys and asked them did they fancy coming and playing in the Brian Finnegan band. And they did, and it just made so much sense. We didn't have to talk about the stuff. We didn't have to rehearse it up. We just did our thing. So, and then since that, we've definitely been doing more gigs. We're a kind of boutique gig band now, I think.
Yeah.
We pick and choose the special ones.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing. Yeah, I know. We're very proud to be crossing that big threshold next year.
Great.
And very excited as well. We're doing lots of great gigs.
Yeah, so the tour looks fantastic, and I know the gigs will be packed out. Brian, tell us a little bit about the new record. I know it's a little way off coming out. Do you know the exact release date, or roughly the release date?
I think it's the 20-somethingth of March,
right,
James.
Okay.
It's the end of March.
Okay, great.
That's the official release. But we'll be, we've got some gigs in Switzerland in January. We'll be selling the album then. But officially, it's out at the end of March.
What's it called?
It's called Sanju, which is, there's a few different translations in different parts of the world. But we went for the Japanese 30. It's just Sanju in Japanese. Kanji is 30.
Mm.
It's just a word. We do a lot of work in Japan, and the producer on the new album is called Stevie Jones. He's from Bangor, but he lives in London, and he's a fluent Japanese speaker. So it just kind of had a nice symmetry about it. The name.
I imagine one Yoko Nozaki will be absolutely beside herself that there's a new Fluke record coming out. She's an incredible supporter of Irish music, and she's got not a bad Irish accent herself when she wants to.
Touch of the Mrs. Doyle about her, doesn't she? Really? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
She's amazing person.
She's very, she's one of my favourite people in the world. We wrote her a tune on the last Fluke album. It's called Ocean Child, because one of the translations from the name Yoko is Child of the Ocean. So she's even more excited about this one with the Japanese title.
We had to convince Yoko to take us to some actual Japanese restaurants when we were there. We're so excited about going to Tokyo, and she just wanted to show us everything else that Tokyo could turn on. So we had Korean and everything else, and finally she agreed to take us to, in her words, a bog standard Tokyo Japanese restaurant, which of course blew our minds.
Absolutely. She's just, I love the way that she orders for you. I mean, goodness knows what would arrive if she didn't. But, it's an experience.
Indeed. Brian, we could talk all day, but I have other fish to fry on the program today, but I really would love you to introduce the Father Shore and Winterflower, which is the new single from the forthcoming Fluke record. I wonder if you'd tell us a little bit about the track, and I'll let you back into the wetlands.
Back into the wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this the first single from Sand You will be coming out on Winter Solstice, 21st of December. It's two tunes. The first is Co-Write from Sarah and Phil Cunningham, a beautiful tune called The Farther Shore, which was the theme music to the BBC documentary series, The Narrow Sea, The Farther Shore.
Ah, okay.
And inspired by that sea road between the east coast of County Antrim and Scotland's western shore, and the families, the generations that have crossed it to look for looking for work or a better life. And so that's the first tune. And then the second tune is a tune that I dedicated to my beautiful partner, Eva. She is from Mexico City, and she has somehow managed to survive 15 Irish County Armagh winters with
Amazing.
Me. She is, she's quite a unique woman, and her birthday is in January, so her mother's family name is Flower. So the second tune is a tune for Eva. It's called Winter Flower.
Thanks, Brian. All the very best.
Thanks, James. See ya.
Dreams damn, dream bam. Doon Dave and Tin, tis in on earth. With our blessed infant
with
there.
With our blessed infant there.
With our blessed infant there. With our blessed infant there. Sing, sing all earth. Sing, sing all earth in eternal praises and sing to our Redeemer, to our Redeemer and our Heavenly King. Light in thy mind of you, the child, humility divine, sweet in our sense and meek and mild,
grace in his features,
grace in his features shine, Christ in his features shine, Christ in his features shine. Sing, sing, all earth. Sing, sing, all earth. Eternal praise and sing
to our Redeemer,
to our Redeemer and our Heavenly King. For us our Saviour came on earth, for us his life he gave, to save us from eternal death,
and to raise us from
and to raise us from the grave. To raise us from the grave, to raise us from the grave. Sing, sing, all earth. Sing, sing, all earth. Eternal praise and sing
to our Redeemer,
to our Redeemer and our Heavenly King.
The Young Tradition singing one of the best carols, Shepherds Arise, learned from the Copper family of Rottingdean, and that is one of my very favourite things to play at this time of year. A brand new Christmas album now, which we've been rotating heavily on Thank Goodness It's Folk over the last couple of weeks, because it's absolutely brilliant. It's Janice Burns and John Doran's new album, Great Joy to the New. We talked to them on the programme just 2 weeks ago about the release of the album, about the Christmas tour that they're doing right now, and I asked them what their favourite tracks on the record were, and John picked this one, led by Janice. This is The Wren from Great Joy to the New.
Joy, health, love and peace be all here in this place. By your leave we will sing concerning our King. Our King is well dressed in silks of the best, with ribbons so rare no king can styles in search of our King. Unto you we bring, we have powder and shot for to conquer the lot. We have cannon and ball for to conquer them all.
Thank you.
Christmas is past, Twelfth night is the last, and we bid you adieu, great joy to the new.
Beautiful. Well, I'll be back in the second half with Rob Harbour and a fantastic guest talking about a brilliant new record. You cannot miss it. He's talking about Boss Morris, the wonderful progressive dance side for which he plays with Miranda Rutter and Sam Sweeney, and their new record's brilliant. We'll play you some tracks from that. But in the first half, I'll leave you with the beautiful, much-missed Paul Sarton playing with his good friend Paul Hutchinson from Stocking Fillers by Belshazzar's Feast, another Shepherd song. This is The Shepherd Song and Will's Jig. I'll see you in the second half with Rob Harbour.
We shepherds are the best of men that e'er trod English ground. When we come to an alehouse, we value not a crown. We spend our money freely, we pay before we go. There's no ale on the walls where the stormy winds do blow. We spend our money freely, we pay before we go. There's no ale on the walls where the stormy winds do blow. Come all you valiant shepherds that have got valiant hearts, that goes out in the morning and never feels the smart. We'll never feel downhearted, we'll fear no rain or snow. There's no ale on the wolds where the stormy winds do blow. We'll never feel downhearted, we'll fear no rain or snow. There's no ale on the wolds where the stormy winds do blow. When I looked out all on the hills, it made my heart to ache to see the ewes hang out their tongues and hear the lambs to bleat. Then I plucked up my courage and o'er the hills did go. There's no ale on the wolds where the stormy winds do blow. Then I plucked up my courage and over hills did go. There's no ale on the wolds where the stormy winds do blow. As soon as I had folded them, I turned my back in haste unto a jovial company, good liquor for to taste. For drink and jovial company, they are my heart's delight. While my sheep lie asleep, oh, full safely all this night. For drink and jovial company, they are my heart's delight. While my sheep lie asleep, oh, full safely all this night.